your designers are here.
I'm Anita from Cedar Hill Farmhouse.
And I'm Yvonne at Stone Gable.
And I'm Kelly from My Soulful Home.
We're here with tips and tricks and decorating advice for you. So let's get started.
This is episode 22, Rugs, where we're talking about rugs for your home. And this is, just to clarify, this is about area rugs and not about wall-to-wall carpet. So,
ooh, I'm excited to talk about this today.
I know. I love rugs. Kelly, are you a rug person too?
I'm a rug person. I'm slow to choosing a rug because I think there are a lot of considerations, and I know we're going to go over many of those today. Mm-hmm. I am just at the point where I'm adding rugs here in my soulful home, and you know, hanging things on the wall. So at the fun part, but you know, I really take pause and I take a long time to think about rugs. I've had some good rug experiences and some not so good rug experiences.
I think we all have had that,
and then,
yes.
I have two rolled up rugs in my shed right now, so if that tells you anything.
I know. I'm the same way.
So let's talk about the rug size. Well, before we talk about the rug size, I really wanted to bring up what Yvonne's tip about trays and how they corral accessories. I loved that tip for decorating your home.
It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
That's what I thought too.
So, okay, so what are you going to say about it?
Well, so I feel like tell me, what did I say?
So she said the trays corral accessories, and I
to
see
make a vignette.
Mm-hmm. To make a vignette, and I see a rug as corralling the furniture together, not literally, but mm-hmm. visually they corral everything, and so it feels like one piece of a thing rather than a bunch of disjointed pieces of furniture.
I absolutely agree with you.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well,
that
put.
Was good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let's talk about choosing size first. What goes into choosing the right size?
You know, here's what we have to do. We always have to talk about the foundational things, the things mm-hmm. that you must do mm-hmm. to get it right. And that's maybe not the so fun part mm-hmm. of decorating until you get to the fun part, which is picking out the pattern and things like that.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. But this is a big question people have is the size. Anybody have any tips for the right size?
Well, I
go
think
big.
That,
go big.
Go big. Go big or go home, right?
Well, you know, go bigger than maybe you think. And what I like to, you know, just like, sometimes you look in a catalog or online, you think, maybe I could squeak away with the 6x9 or, you know, the 5x7. Mm-hmm. But, you know, don't just purchase that one because it's $80 less than the next size up.
Mm-hmm.
What I like to do is I take out my painter's tape, which is in my toolbox that we've talked about in a podcast, and I lay it out, or I take my measuring tape and I maybe take two or three measuring tapes and I lay them out on mm-hmm. the floor in the dimensions, and I see, is this going to be the right size for the floor, the area that I want to cover, also the furniture that's going to be on top of it. There are less considerations in a room like a living room or a sitting room or something like that, where furniture is not going to be moving back and forth.
Yes.
But if you're talking about dining room chairs being pulled out and all, there are some tips that we'll give to you throughout the podcast of exactly how much space you need.
And you have to be a lot more careful with something like a dining room.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you know, it could be a hazard, too, if your rug is curling up
mm-hmm.
at the end. You don't want people
mm-hmm.
falling and, you know,
well, so
oh my
what
gosh.
Is the what is the size for a dining room?
Well, the size for a dining room, I believe, is you have to have 24 inches mm-hmm. you know, from the end of the table out. So that would allow a normal size dining chair and a normal size person to push the chair out and get in and out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I would go, if possible, a little bit bigger, just because mm-hmm. I like that nice border around.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I think in a living room, you know, sometimes you can just have those front legs of the furniture on the rug, or you can have the entire chair on. But depending on your area, it mm-hmm. we might be talking about quite a large rug.
We just did that this weekend in mm-hmm. my daughter's home. We were down. Yeah. She has a home on Capitol Hill in D.C., and she has these beautiful Oriental rugs from Afghanistan. They're just really unusual. And she rearranged her furniture, and I said to her, you know, Jackie, your front leg should really be on mm-hmm. your rug. It's a very big rug. So we, you know, it's like wrestling, you know, wrestling another yes. person, like moving that around. It's not like you lift it up and fluff it, you know how you can do that, but we had the pad and everything to consider.
Well, the pad, if you've got the rug pad, it's almost impossible to move.
It is. So we actually had to roll the rug up, roll the padding up, and do it again, and it looks it looked much, much better.
Of course, this is what your daughter wants to do when you come to visit.
No, actually, my husband helped her. Sweet Bobby. Sweet Bobby's wrestling the rug.
Well,
no,
let me
Daddy,
add,
help.
Oh, let me add on the size. Let's say you were a little nervous about the price, and so you ended up getting a rug that was a little bit too small. So mm-hmm. one of the things you can do if you did that is to layer it with a larger, cheaper rug underneath.
Oh, yes.
And then put your
padded one.
I do
that a lot. And
yeah.
purposefully. You know, I might just buy the more pow rug or something interesting, like a faux skin or a real skin or just something, you know, mm-hmm. a rug that's really, you know, interesting. And mm-hmm. you can lay it over a sisal or some very basic rug. And so you're getting the look, but it's a lot less expensive.
And it's funny that you should say that, Anita, because I have chestnut colored floors in my house because mm-hmm. chestnut is native to where I live, but when I photograph them, they almost come up orange, and I get so frustrated because yes. they're really beautiful. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I have a real hide rug, but it's not a real zebra rug in my living room.
It's so fun, and I love it.
Yeah,
I've seen it.
It's because I have a sort of formal living room, and it makes it a little more fun. And it just goes under my coffee table a little bit. It's sort of in the center. But I'm really thinking about getting a large sisal rug that will cover up a lot of that wood. And the wood's so beautiful. But here again, photograph. It just doesn't photograph like it. I'd like it to. And then just putting that hide rug on top of it.
Oh, that's a great idea. And the other thing is, if you do use hide rugs, they only go so big, so you can layer mm-hmm. those. We have two layered under the table at the farm.
And yes, I've seen that, and that's beautiful. So yeah, hides are. I do have a real penchant for hide rugs. I think they're beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Let's give one more of those measurements while we're at it, so we don't forget.
Yes.
We'll come back, but we're just pop into the bedroom for a second. So if you're having a rug that's going to go under your bed, the general thinking is it should be 18 inches from the end of the bed sticking outwards. So that would give your, you know, tootsies an opportunity to be on a nice cushy rug when they get out of bed, you know, in some room.
So you're talking about all sides, right?
Yes. If at all possible, probably mostly important on the, you know, the actual size of the bed where you'd be getting in. Maybe the end is not as important. But here's a thought too. I love to angle all my rugs. There's something to me about when you walk into a room and the rug is not just, you know, it's not on a perfect rectangle.
It's askew.
It's askew, and it's kind of looking at you, and it's kind of opens up the room. It's very inviting, I think. So I'm always turning my rug. So, you know, in my bedroom, you know, it's not 18 inches on this side and 18 inches on this side. There's space. There's probably a little bit more, but the whole thing is on an angle.
Oh, that sounds so pretty.
And it doesn't have to go completely under the bed. It's not like, you know, where you're putting a layer and then you're plopping the bed back on top of it. You can play with it and how it works in your room.
I think you can go maybe a little smaller.
Have it only go under part of the bed.
I think you can go a little smaller if it's angled, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, if you buy the wrong size, give that a try before you send it back.
Well, and I would say, too, if you're looking, usually you can go bigger, but you know, often you can't go smaller. So, you know, I think if your rug ends up being a little too big, as long as it's not rolled up next to the wall, it's going to look fine.
Right.
So, if you can't decide between two sizes, I would definitely step up
go
rather
bigger.
Than down.
Mm-hmm. And I love your idea, Anita, Kelly, of taping it off. Because then you have
a
real visual
idea.
Picture. And I don't know, does this aggravate you? I hate to buy a rug for under my bed and only have an 18-inch border.
I know.
Seems like such a waste, doesn't it?
Well, you can do rugs. We've got the three beds at the farm, and because it was going to take a 14-foot by 9-foot rug there, for now we just have some maybe 2x3 rugs in between the beds. So that's something.
Oh, and that looks so charming. That's so pretty.
Well, you would think somebody would think of a way of maybe making the center of it a more inexpensive fabric and then putting a beautiful rug around it. I'm thinking, all that money and all that beauty is hiding under my bed.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's a case where you could go with an inexpensive synthetic larger rug and then maybe angle, put some askew, some prettier pattern.
That's an
on
idea.
Top.
That is really a good idea.
One thing that just happened, I bought two synthetic rugs, now that you mention it, from Home Decorators Collection, which I think is part of Home Depot now.
It is, yes.
Yes, it is.
Okay, and I saw them and I thought, these are just lovely. My kids are still little. My dog is very tidy, not like that dachshund. Emmett does a nice job in the house, so I don't worry so much about that. But, I didn't want to spend a whole lot of money for these particular rugs. One was for my daughter's room and one was for the living room, in an area in the living room. I'll explain to you about that in a minute. But it was about $250 for both of them.
Oh my goodness.
And they're lovely. And they, obviously it's not a top of the line wool rug. I didn't expect it to be, but for the price point, it looks terrific.
Put that in the show notes because I'd be interested in that myself.
I will. And the one I bought for my daughter, they both have grays, and then hers has a little bit of pink in the, it's the same pattern basically.
Yeah.
Hers is a little pink, so her room is gray with this blush pink going on. But here's the point: is when I put it in her room, the doors, the bottom of the doors were catching on it.
Yeah. Oh yes,
you have to have them shaved.
So think about that too, especially.
Yes.
And this is a low pile rug, but the door was still catching on it a little bit, and we've now sort of scooched it over a little bit, and it just misses it. But I was flattening it out with textbooks and trying to flatten books.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something to consider, particularly if you're going to do a high pile wood wool rug or something like that. If it's going to come in contact with a door, you don't want to have to take the door down.
Or even in a bedroom, I'm redoing a guest bedroom right now, and we have a cedar closet and another closet in this room, and I'm using pretty much a rug that's almost about, I think it's 3 inches on each side. It'll cover most of the area, just because I wanted it to be really soft for our guests. And I never thought of that, so I better go and make sure it's not going to catch on those doors.
Let's talk about fiber content, because there's so many different choices. And I'm just going to say up front, my very, very favorite is wool.
Me too.
I love the way it wears and it repels stains. Mm-hmm. And I know people say, you should use synthetic because wool is going to stain. But I've never had a wool rug stain. They're just
I have not
amazing.
Either.
Mm-hmm. No, it does oddly repel. Well, I mean, you don't see stains on sheep. I mean, like,
no, we see some pretty dirty sheep around here.
I've never spilled red wine on a sheep, but I wonder if you did, what would happen? I think it just sort of
it washes
right
up
off.
Well, because it's a natural fiber.
Mm-hmm. Right. I do like wool rugs a lot, but I definitely delved and most recently into the synthetics and synthetic rugs. You're like, what is that? So it's a man-made material, as you all probably know. Some of them are polypropylene, which is also the trade name is olefin. You might see that and wonder, what the heck is that? Nylon, acrylic, or some sort of polyester.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I have to say, I don't know what the content is, but I have an indoor-outdoor rug in my dining room. It's from Dash and Albert, and it looks exactly like wool. It is stunning.
I think those are polypropylene, and I just like saying that.
Okay.
Everybody should try that.
This one is stunning.
But what? It's let me just say something. They ain't your mama's indoor-outdoor carpets.
Yeah.
I have one I love in my dining room, and I did it purposefully. We had a previous rug in there. We had a big party, and there were a lot of kids, and I had orange soda, and some little one took orange soda into my dining room and spilled it, and I didn't see the orange soda on the carpet until many hours later. But let me tell you, I could not get that out, and so I was looking for a carpet, and I thought, I'm going to try an indoor-outdoor, and I love it's beautiful, first of all. You'd think it was, it's high-end.
Some of the high-end ones, you cannot tell, but
they're gorgeous.
With that stain, I guess you can put, if you cannot get it out, you can put layer another rug on top of it, or
it just wasn't a convenient spot. So I went with an indoor outdoor, and everything that has been on my rug, and we use our dining room a lot, comes out.
Oh, wonderful. So you're saying your indoor outdoor rug cleans easily?
Oh, it cleans so easily. Wow. I just can't get over it.
Oh, and nice.
The designs are beautiful.
Amazing. Yeah, there's some amazing designs. So there's some cheap, not so good looking synthetic indoor outdoors, but some amazingly stunning indoor outdoors.
I would say this wasn't cheap, but I would say it's reasonably priced. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't horrifically expensive, but it was probably better than like the run of the mill, but not much, you know, as far as price. So, but it's so well worth it. I'm so glad you brought that up, Anita. And you also have one, you said, in your under your dining room table.
I do, and it's just well, we haven't had a meal in there recently since I put it in, but it's beautiful.
Can I just bring up this, since we're talking about stains and things? I recently got a rug for under my breakfast nook table, and I loved it. It's all cotton, and I loved it because it went so well with my new chairs that I got, and I went and it had some stripes and some nice color to it. So I called, we have a very reputable carpet cleaning service here in Lancaster County, it's the top one, and they came out and they looked at it and they Scotch guarded it for me.
Oh, and here's what they said.
Scotch guard something new. It should wear for 1 year, but then you must have them come back, clean it, and re-scotch guard it.
Oh, wow.
And the scotch guarding was very inexpensive. I got all my four chairs around my kitchen table, because they're all upholstered, scotch guarded, because they were new. And so, you know, that just saves me so many headaches, because the rug that I chose was light. And it's like, oh, gosh, what am I thinking? I'll give it a try. So I feel pretty confident now that I'm okay for about a year. I'll just have them back. They'll take it out, clean it, bring it back, scotch guard, and we're good to go again.
Just don't invite that kid back.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
it's probably
well, this time, I'm ready for him. The only thing, I can't think of a rug that he could spill it on
that
I couldn't get it
out. That's all you're getting, kid.
It's like a showdown with Yvonne and the rug. What about
No, I'm nice to little children. Life is messy. Life is messy. That's
so what about natural fibers, jute, seagrass, sisal? Because I have a sisal rug that I love. I love those rugs.
Natural fiber rugs.
Me
you
too.
Just have to be careful, you know, especially if you're ordering them from a catalog or online. I did make the mistake of ordering what was called a sisal, which is, you know, durable and not very scratchy. But it probably was more of a core rug, C-O-I-R, and that is rough and tough.
Yes, that's pretty tough.
It came, and I unrolled it, and that was going to be in our breakfast area. So you're approaching it with bare feet a lot, and we don't wear shoes in our house.
We don't
anyway.
Either.
So you have socks or bare feet in the house, and it was dubbed the rug of nails. You've heard of the bed of nails.
Oh my goodness.
The rug of nails. My family, even my dog, would go around the edges of it.
Emmett's such a smart boy. Emmett is a smart boy.
His little pads. He didn't like it. I had put the rug pad down. I put the furniture on top of it. I thought, you know, and it looks really good. I'm like, oh gosh, you're not sleeping on it. You guys can handle it. So, I made them continue with it, but it was not comfortable. So just be aware there are different degrees of softness in all those materials. So the seagrass, jute, core, and sisal.
That is such a good point.
And I
people may
bring
not
up,
know that.
Speaking of Emmett, I think we need to talk about pet
accidents?
Friendliness.
Yeah. Ooh, yes. Pet friendliness.
So, because I'm going to, in my experience, the wool is great, you know, if you do have something, if there's an accident or spill, and then the hide rugs just clean off, like, you know, they're super easy to clean. Cotton, I don't know. That one's a little tougher.
Yeah, it is tougher. That's why you get it Scotch guarded.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
definitely. And get it professionally done. That way they guarantee that.
Good point.
Yeah, just train your dog really well.
I know. And my doggie, Molly, she's so good. She doesn't have accidents in the house. So
well,
she's really
if you
good.
Have a dog long enough, Scamp is no longer with us. He passed away in November. It was very, very traumatically sad. And he was 20 years old.
Oh,
I know. Little Poms live a long time. And
was one that had all the Gorilla Glue stuff?
Yes, that was
I told my daughters that story. They were howling.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's the one that got into the Gorilla Glue and thought he'd roll in it. But anyway, towards his end of life, we had him in a diaper because they will. Yeah, I mean, you know, when they get that old. So you just have to be aware of that, girls. Cause
and just do the diaper.
Scamp was good till the very end, but still.
Good till the very end.
Yeah, you have to be aware of that when you're thinking about carpets and things like that.
Yeah, so if the end is coming, no new carpet.
Yeah, we just kept him in a little diaper. You know, he was fine. But you do have to think about those things. And also, you have to think about, you know, how comfortable a rug is on your feet. And you were talking about that, Kelly.
Yeah.
That's important, how it looks. There's so many things to consider. But another thing that we really need to consider is, you know, a rug is only as good as the pad you put under it.
Okay.
Ooh, that's
see,
a quote
but
there.
Now you have to be careful. And to be honest, I'm not using pads right now because some of them.
That was me. That was horror. That was horror.
Well, because some of those pads will destroy your wood floors, and so I'm just really, I don't know.
This is where it's worth it. If you go to a store that sells rugs. Mm-hmm. They have wonderful pads, and especially pads for, you know, area rugs. They almost feel they're feltish on the top, and they have a really nice bottom that are no skid, but that won't ruin your floors.
I have a really good post on. Well, I shouldn't pat myself on the back. Really good post.
It is good.
It's a thorough post. That's what I should say. Mm-hmm. A thorough post on rug pads. Yeah, I had not really considered rug pads back then. And this company approached me and I said, okay, send me your rug pads. Wow, what a difference.
Yes.
I was not using rug pads at the time.
Well, no,
It saves your rug and it makes it more comfortable. And if you get the right kind, it's also good for your floor.
Well, that's true. I do have some that are rather thick and they look like felt.
Yes, mm-hmm.
They were very expensive.
Yes, they are.
They're not cheap. And if you're getting those little honeycomb things that are, you know, they might, then they stick to the floor sometimes.
Yeah, I'm not doing those
so great
anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then you peel them off, and I don't know if it's heat or something, but they do leave marks on the floor.
They
so
do
that's
it here.
Not so true.
Yeah. Well, I was just very nervous about my floor, so I didn't do them here. So let's talk about the pile options. Now, my personal favorite, I love a flat weave wool rug, like a Drury or a Killam or just any kind of
too.
Those are my very, very favorites.
We have a lot in common this episode,
oh, wow.
Anita.
This is
wow.
Awesome.
Wow.
How about you, Kelly?
Yeah, I'm the same way.
I agree. I like that the best. In fact, and you know, just, and again, the synthetic rugs I just bought, but they mimic that sort of thing. They're really thin, and the pile is very, very short.
Like 8 years ago, there was a shag rugs were all. It was called something else, not shag. It was called something else, but they were shag rugs, like from the 1970s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that the Flocky? Isn't that what they're called now?
I forget what they were called. But
not that shaggy. Okay.
In and out, like real quick, you know, zip and it was in and out. But it just happened to hit me that I thought, oh, that would feel really good. So I got wall-to-wall shag in my family room. And it lasted about 18 months. And it was like after that, I was like, it's out of here, you know, because it just, it felt good. My kids loved it. You know, they loved laying in it.
Is it white?
I'm sorry?
Was it a white shag rug?
No, it wasn't white. It was like a variegated caramel tan. You know, variegated, so it really hid the dirt well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, after I knew about 2 months in, like, ooh, this is just not for me. But I agree. I think the lower the nap, the better. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, you can get really low napped cut carpet.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but I'm still a fan of it just woven and as low to the ground as I can get it.
I'm really into layering rugs.
Ooh, me too.
In the house that I'm in now, it's a necessity because our formal living room, keeping room is so long and narrow, it would look so strange. I would have to get the strangest shaped carpet. And then there's a fireplace in the center, and, you know, then there's some furniture. So what I did was I needed to break the room up into sort of conversation areas anyway for the room to make sense. So I used three different rugs, and they're all overlapping a little bit, so it's not layered on top of each other, but they're talking to each other in that way. And it's really working nicely. This synthetic one that I've talked about a few times today was the last piece in that puzzle, because I couldn't figure out how I was going to make that work. So I have a sisal that's in front of the sofa, and the coffee table is sitting on top of that. Then there's a faux skin rug that I got from One's Kings Lane on an angle in front of the fireplace, but it's overlapping the sisal. And now this grayish, very muted toned synthetic that kind of mimics an ancient type of rug, like an oriental type of pattern, but it's in the grays and blacks and smoky colors like that, is again on an angle, and it's a little bit under the faux skin rug. And it difference it made in that room. Because now all the pieces are, as you said earlier, all the elements are now sort of talking to each other. It makes sense together instead of it feeling like a furniture store.
I think many of us have that problem. I have my house is broken up into a front part and a back part. It's open, the front and the back it's like two bowling alleys, two wide bowling alleys, that's what I call it. And so in the front, I've got my dining room, the foyer's in the center, and then the living room. And in the back of the house, I have the breakfast nook, the family room on the left, and the kitchen on the other side. But in the front of my house, my dining room, my foyer, and my living room all have rugs. How do you do that? So they all, and they're not that far apart, and you can see them. So it's that trying to get that balance between the rugs that they look good together, but that they're all a little different. And right, I mean, it's taken me several rugs in my foyer to find something that I think worked with both.
Let's talk about patterns now. What kind of a pattern do you look for? Or do you prefer solids?
I don't necessarily want a solid, unless it's, you know, a natural.
A sisal, fiber. Or something natural.
But I like something very subtle. I know sometimes you'll read articles about designers and say, oh, well, I like to start with the rug. I don't start with the rug. And I don't like the rug talking the loudest in the room.
But you know, don't you see these white rooms now? And there's an oriental rug or a quilt or something, just bright, bright red, and then the rest of the room's kind of white.
I love that.
It takes over the whole room. Yeah, it's fun though. I don't know. Yeah.
My foyer rug is a black and white striped, big, bold, striped wool rug. I mean, it is out there.
Beautiful.
And then, of course, in my living room, I have the zebra, and that's pretty out there, too.
But that's an accent rug.
Yes. Well, yes.
And then the foyer is, the rug can kind of, you know, there's not a lot of other functions in that room.
That's exactly what you're right.
So that can be like, wow.
That's why I picked it, because there's not a lot of furniture. Right. So I wanted something that really made a statement.
Right. So, I think that sounds beautiful. I don't know that I've seen pictures of your foyer, but I've definitely seen that zebra rug. And the way you've layered it and worked it in with everything is absolutely beautiful. But again, that's a pop. It's not huge. And it's almost like an accessory rather than a foundational piece. Mm. I always think of rugs, larger rugs, as real foundational pieces. And I don't necessarily want that to be a big flowery pattern or something.
No, I don't think I do either, except if the smaller it is, the wilder I'll get. Let's put it that way.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Well, or even like a needlepoint. It's been a long time since I've had a needlepoint rug, but I think those are pretty too.
Or like a hooked rug. I love those. I have two rolled upstairs, because I can't use them. They don't go with my decor anymore.
Well, I brought mine to church for my Sunday school class, and somebody stole it from the church.
Oh, that's a horrible story.
Wow.
Oh, my. Maybe they made a big donation to your church.
I guess. So, I just walked in one day to teach my class, and my rug was gone.
Well, what about Orientals? I mean, I know, like, I actually have two more of those. I have a gorgeous Oriental red one, really interesting. Not like the inexpensive Orientals you could get, but a really good one. And when I finish our guest suite above our garage, that's what I'm going to use. A lot of white in this big red Oriental rug.
It'll be beautiful.
Yeah, but I don't see the Orientals that much anymore.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Because, again, I think white, you know, people spend all those thousands and thousands of dollars on them. And then either you get tired of them or your styles change. And then you're committed to them.
Yeah, that's why I'm not spending $5,000 on a rug, because who knows what's happening down the road.
And you can get beautiful, reasonably priced rugs now, which is so awesome. I just went to a rug store, a local rug store. I couldn't find anything that I like online. Went to a rug store. I'm having a carpet cut and serged, so it could be like a rug in my room, not wall to wall though. But I like how it
looks.
That's
a good point. You can go to a carpet store and have them take a carpet remnant put the edge on it, put the trim on it.
But make sure you serge it.
Yes.
Serging looks much better than binding.
Okay.
Serging looks more professional.
Yeah, serging is really nice. And and you can, it doesn't even have to be a remnant. You can just go and say, this is how many, yards I need, or square feet I need of this carpet, and they can make it for you. Another way to get an off-sized rug is a company called theperfectrug.com. I have not used them, but I know friends have, and I did explore it. It's not the most inexpensive way to go, but if you have a really odd-shaped room, or you want a carpet on an angle to be a certain size, it's a good way to go. And they have a really big selection, and they serge the edges.
We'll put that in the show notes, okay?
Yeah. And then the other thing, the last point I wanted to make is, when I'm picking out the colors or the patterns for a rug, my personal feeling is, although I do love all the very brightly colored ones, for my aesthetic, for my home, I end up using usually rugs that have just two colors in them. And it can be kind of a busy pattern, but just two colors. And that way it's so much easier to work it in and make it work as I'm changing pillows and as I'm changing other things in the room. That usually does, it's pretty easy to work with something that has two colors versus something that has, 10 or 15.
That's a really good tip. That's true. And the tighter your color palette, the more sophisticated it looks as well.
Ooh, good point, Yvonne.
Ooh, nice, tight palettes. Very good. Okay, well, this has been so much fun. I think that we shared a whole lot of tips today. I know I learned some things, too. So we want you to remember that we are here to inspire you to create a beautiful home. Until next time. Hey there. If you're loving our podcast like we're loving our podcast, we would love you to rate and review us. Head to iTunes to do that. It's easy, and it would mean so much to us. And if you do rate and review us, we're going to enter you to win a fantastic giveaway. The details for the giveaway are in the show notes for this episode, and you can find the show notes at decoratingtipsandtricks.com.